It is in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. I'll begin reading with the first verse, and it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." For a theme this morning, we want to use the art of spiritual war. The art of spiritual war. And for a subtopic, you in the army now. There's a book entitled The Art of War. Many of you saw the movie with Wesley Snipes. It is one of the earliest and best known books on Chinese warfare. I bring it to your attention because this book remains the most influential strategy text that has influenced not only military thinking in both the Eastern and Western world, but has also been applied to business tactics, legal strategy, and lifestyles. The book is attributed to be the work of Master Sun, considered by men to be one of history's finest military tacticians and analysts. In the book, he details a number of different sets of skills he calls arts related to warfare and how it applies to military weapons, strategy, and tactics. It is important for the child of God to understand military weapons, strategy, and tactics because whether you realize it or not, we are in a spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Master Sun may have thought that he had developed this thinking. However, I'm here today to tell you that Satan has been using these arts and skills against man since his creation. One of the tactics that Satan uses is espionage, or spying to obtain information. In the Garden of Eden, Satan embodies the serpent. Genesis chapter 3 tells us that the serpent is more subtle, in other words, cunning, more cunning and crafty than any beast of the field. And he gathers information from Eve that she really doesn't know what the Lord has said. Adam had done a poor job of instructing her on exactly what God had told him. Thus, Satan had discovered his means of attack by attacking the word of God. Here, he had asked the serpent about the trees in which they could eat. She responded, "See, if you don't know something, keep your mouth shut, and the enemy won't know that you don't know." But here, she gives information, not knowing all of it. And here, because of his espionage, he understands that she is not aware, because she says, "The tree that's in the midst of the garden, we should not eat of it, neither touch it." God hadn't said anything about touching. All he said is that you should not eat it. Here, Satan knows that he's got an ear. Thus, Satan had discovered his means of attack by attacking the word that God says and confusing Eve, making her doubt what God had really said. You know the rest of the story. She lost that battle because she was vulnerable to Satan's deception. However, I want you today to be prepared. Because 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, I want you to be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We got to understand that the devil is after us. And since we know that our enemy is after us, then we need to be on our job. You need to know what God has said in his word. So begin to get into the book. Come and log in to the Bible class. Come to Sunday school. And next Sunday, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? In recognition of Brother Tim Burns, if everybody could be at Sunday school. Hallelujah, because he loved Sunday school. Now, if you have respect for Brother Tim, but more so if you have respect for God and want to understand what God is saying, come to Sunday school. Brother Miguel is teaching an excellent job, doing an excellent job of the lesson. And you'll get something if you just come. I get something when I listen to him teach. Because, see, iron sharpens iron. His teaching helps me. When Minister Gardner's teaching, it helps me. So come out next Sunday to Sunday school and get a word from the Lord. Another thing we find out about Satan in the Word of God is that he has a strategy. In other words, a plan to deploy several actions to achieve an overall victory. In the case of Job, Satan gets permission as he challenges the Lord. When he said, "The Job fear God for naught. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Here the challenge had gone forth. Satan wants to attack Job. He wants to take something. And so Satan's initial attack was to weaken Job by taking his wealth and his family. However, Job holds on. And the scripture said Job worshiped God. In spite of what Satan had done, he said the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when I got the word last night that Brother Tim had been taken, I was hurt. Because, see, I cried out to the Lord for him, hoping that his deliverance would be a help to his ministry and his teaching, that would give him a testimony. But, see, God had something else in store. Hallelujah. When I called his father to let him know that he had passed, I could hear the hurt in his voice. But he responded to me and says, I am hurt. He said, but I got to believe in the God that I serve. He said, because God doesn't do anything wrong. And I've got to come to grips with the fact that whatever the Lord has done, that I've got to yet bless the name of the Lord. Here Job began to bless the name of the Lord in spite of losing his wealth, in spite of losing his children. But he began to continue to worship the Lord. Saints of God, no matter what happens in your life, you ought to be able to worship the Lord of your salvation, because he is worthy of all praise. Next, Job's health was attacked. Satan is not happy when he can't get you. And so he comes back and he says, skin for skin. Hallelujah. The Lord allows him to afflict him. But he says, you cannot take his life. Whatever comes against us, God has got Satan on a leash. He can only do so much. Whatever God has allowed. And as we begin to see that the attack came upon Job's body and how this attack came upon him, yet he holds on to his integrity, and scripture says he does not sin with his lips. And we know of the end of this battle that Job received double for his trouble. All you got to do is hold out just a little while longer. All you got to do is stay in the trenches, stay in your foxhole just a little while longer and see the salvation of the Lord. Satan also uses weapons designed and used to inflict bodily harm, as we discussed, and physical damage to you, so as to gain an advantage in this conflict. However, Isaiah 54 and 17 tells us no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the law, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Here, Father, I want you to know that the child of God is not without weapons of our own, because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Child of God, we've got weapons at our disposal. And no matter what comes or goes, hallelujah, we'll win some battles and we will lose some battles. But one thing, realize that we are going to win the war, because the back of the book tells you that we win. So here, as we begin to look at this thing, it is here that we look into our text this morning. In Acts chapter 12, we find an attack against the church with the strategy of taking out the apostles. And not only any apostles, but the inner circle that Jesus often took with him to the side and shared special experiences like his transfiguration on the mountain. This was a new development in the history of the church. And the 12 who had followed Jesus, we find that James, the brother of John, is the first to be killed. Martyr. Here the scripture tells us, and because he, meaning King Herod, saw it pleased the Jews. Those Jews were those that did not believe in Jesus anyway. He saw that it pleased them. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Satan is deploying King Herod to accomplish his strategy. Herod sees these actions as increasing his popularity and expanding his political goals. So he takes the apostle Peter and places him in prison to wait until after Easter to bring him forth to be executed, potentially avoiding any riot that may have occurred during the feast time. Hallelujah. While holding Peter in prison, there are extra precautions made. He was chained to two soldiers, one on each side of him, both wrists braced, basically handcuffed to the soldier that was on either side of him. Further, the other soldiers kept watch outside the cell. You might ask, why so much security is needed? Well, if you recall Acts chapter 5, the high priest had placed the apostles in prison before, and the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out. So Herod wanted to make sure that Peter didn't escape this time. The key to our text today is in verse 5, where it said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer, hallelujah, was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here, Satan had Herod, the prison, the soldiers doing his bidding, but the church had the power of prayer. There are two keys to note when we begin to talk about this prayer that I want to express to you today. Prayer was made without ceasing, is what the scripture said. Has the implication of earnest prayer. There's a verb used here in the original text. And that verb that the writer Luke begins to use is the word ekchemos. And it means to stretch out all that can for something. It is from a medical term, because see, Luke was the physician. And so he uses a medical term, ekchemos, meaning to stretch out. Those of you who have been in athletics, those of you who played ball, those of you who have gone through, there's some stretching, some muscle stretches that you need to do before you begin to play. Oh, you need to stretch your limbs. You need to stretch your muscles to prevent from causing any harm. And when you stretch, or the trainer is stretching you, he stretches the muscle to the limits. He begins to pull your arm back so far to see how much you can take. He begins to pull your legs so far just to see what you can take. Much of our prayer is powerless because we don't stretch out before God. How can we expect God to care about things we really don't care too much about? For example, when we pray, is the TV still on when you go into prayer? Or maybe you just mute the volume and the screen is still showing. While you whispering little words, you're still looking at the ball game. You're still looking at that TV show. How many of you, when you bless your food, have already eaten about half of your plate when you realize that you hadn't blessed your food? So with chicken still in your teeth, you whisper a word or two. Hallelujah. Yet you think God ought to do something. Because you just haphazardly, you just casually pray. You don't get involved. And you don't really stretch out toward God. But there should be some time in your day when you focus on prayer. We know you can't pray all the time on your job. You whisper a word of prayer then. But there ought to be some time when you fall on your knees. There ought to be some time when you cry out. Sometime when you get in your prayer closet and tell the Lord about your situation and about what you're going through. The next thing, it's not only that you stretch out, but also the scripture said unto God. It may appear obvious to you that you are praying to God. But often our prayers are weak because we're not coming into the presence of the great and holy God, bringing our requests before him. We whisper a word or two, then we get up. We say or recite a few scriptures while we're praying, then we get up. But we need to pray to him and stay there before his presence for an answer. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a woman that I love well. Her name is Hannah. She had no children, but she was married to Elkanah. And scripture allows us to know that the Lord had shut up her womb. Peninnah was her adversary. She teased her. She provoked her because she was Elkanah's other wife. He was married to two women. Here, she provoked her. And while they're in Shiloh, scripture says that Hannah got up from eating. She went before the Lord. She's hurting. And so she prays unto the Lord. Scripture said, and wept. Lord, when you really pray until you weep. Hallelujah. God sees your tears. He hears what you say. Scripture says she continued to pray. See, she kept praying. Scripture said before the Lord. Her lips were moving, but she prayed so much that nothing was coming out of her mouth. Prayer to you, you're almost hoarse. Well, nothing is coming out vocally, audibly, but hallelujah, God still can read lips. Hallelujah. God can read your heart. God knows what you're going through. He knows you're hurting. He knows the problems. He knows your battles. He knows your issue. Hallelujah. Just bring it to God in prayer. The Bible says that the priest, Eli, looked at her and she thought she was drunk. Get up from here, drunk. But she told him, I haven't drunken neither wine nor strong drink. But I poured out my soul before the Lord. I'm so glad the priest realized this woman had really sought the Lord and come into his presence. He tells her, go in peace and the God of Israel grant thee thy position. We know the end of this story. God heard her. God saw her tears. God read her lips and God gave her a child, a male child, Samuel. That she did what she promised God. She gave him back to him to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. God will come to your rescue. God will answer your prayer. Sometimes we lose our battles, as I said before, but we never lose the war. But I'm on you today telling you when you pray, you got to ask Lord, as the praise team, so give me the words to say. But you just give him your petition. You cry out before him when you hurt it, when you're going through, because see, everybody's going to go through something sometime. Everybody's going to have a trial or tribulation sometime. Everybody's going to have problem sometime. But God, hallelujah, is a God that cares about his creation. Hallelujah. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when your spirit is broken. Contract. Hallelujah. And he'll come and rescue you. I begin to think about many that have lost their battle. Hallelujah, Brother Tim. But hallelujah, he fought a good fight. As Paul has said. I think about Sister Alice Faith. She fought a good fight. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad that others that have had battles, see, they weren't the only ones that was on the respirator. But we got some folk here today that was on the respirator. Brother Miguel, weren't you on the respirator? He was on oxygen, but God brought him out. Some other people in the parking lot have been in the hospital. They have been told that you've got COVID-19, but God brought you out. And since God brought you out, you ought to begin to praise God and thank God. Hallelujah. And give God what he's due. And that is your praise. Hallelujah. I remember it well. The Apostle Paul. He too was in prison. Paul and Silas. While they were in prison, they were chained up, locked in the inner prison. The Bible said they prayed, then they sang praises. But they prayed and sang praises till the other inmates heard them. You gotta holler and pray and scream sometime so that your neighbor know that you're trying to get in touch with God. You gotta lift up holy hands. There have been times, and on this Saturday I happened to be at work when I got the call from Sister Jackie that he had taken a turn. And while I was there, I didn't care who saw me, but my hands went up to glory. And I began to call out to God, hallelujah. You got to let the folk know whose side you on. Let you know I'm battling. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, but the devil. Satan is my adversary. That's why I said the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Some of us are going to win our battles. Some of us are going to be taken. Paul and Silas was delivered then. But Paul would go back to jail again in Rome. This time he writes to Timothy and says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I might die in this battle down here. But something is laid up for me. I got a home in glory. And when he says, come my people, if I'm in the ground, the scripture said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And if I happen to still be here, it said we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why I'm going to keep on praying. That's why I keep on fasting. That's why I'm going to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset me. And I'm going to run. See, a good run is better than a bad stand. Sometimes you got to run. You got to get away from the enemy. Hallelujah. And retreat into prayer.
Because see, God is going to work it out, because the battle really is not ours, but the Lord's. And that's why you got to give your battle to the Lord. You got to let God know what you're going through. Let God know what is happening. He already knows, but he wants to hear it communicated from you. Hallelujah. That's why he says the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual. That means stretch it out. Get it in his prayer. Fervent prayers. So you gotta pray until you know God heard you. You gotta pray the tears come out. You gotta pray. Last night I was praying, so I couldn't turn the TV on. I had to see, you know, I didn't know what was going on. Brother Carl had to tell me that Alabama lost. Sorry for you, Sister Meredith, Brother Carl. But see, and I couldn't even eat last night. I'd already fixed myself some hot wings, and I was getting ready to eat when I got the phone call. I just put them in the refrigerator. Laid out on the floor before the Lord. Then got in my little prayer closet, my sauna. I get in there and I pray, close it up with the steam, and I just pray. Did that about twice. Come out, got back on my knees, got back in the sauna, prayed some more. You got to pray till something happened to you. Because I see, I needed a word for me and I needed a word for you today. God has given us a word that we are in spiritual warfare. We are in the army now. Whether you realize it or not, you're a soldier. I don't care if you're a private. I don't care if you're a sergeant. Whatever your rank. But you're in the spiritual army of the Lord. And you got to fight. We used to sing that song all the time. We are soldiers in the army. We got to fight. I know we got to fight. We got to hold up the bloodstained banner. We got to hold it up until he comes. You don't hear that no more because nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to pray. Nobody wants to fast. Nobody wants to read your word. But you got to get in. You got to know that if you don't get involved, the enemy is going to get you. He's going to get the weak ones first. See, that's his strategy. Those of you that are not praying, those of you not fasting, looking for me to do it all. See, well, prayer ain't just for me. I got to pray for you. But the Bible said, if you have an affliction, you pray. You're not getting the benefit because you ain't opening up your mouth. Pastor's praying for me. Yes, I am. But you got to pray. Because that's what the word said. If you have an affliction, you open up your mouth. You tell God what he wants to hear from you. I often bring my children up. Because see, they ask for stuff. Cassidy asks for stuff all the time. CJ never asked. When he asks, you know he's serious. But Cassidy asks for stuff all the time. But I can tell when my daughter is serious. Because when she really wants something, I can see the tears in her daddy. Can you do such and such? I remember when she was getting married and I had bought her wedding dress and paid dearly. But she wanted another outfit at the same place. Daddy, we done bought some other outfit because she had stuff all week. And I could see her eyes. I said, you want it, don't you? She said, yeah, I do. What did you think I did? I bought it. God knows, hallelujah, when you want something. He knows if it means that much to you. The Bible said if you delight yourself in the Lord, also he give you the desires of your heart. God wants to know if it means something to you. If your children's salvation means something to you, you need to cry out. If your family's benefit means something to you, then you need to cry out. God got to know that it means something to you. Because he says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and I'll do it. St. John, 14th chapter. Abide in me, and my word abide in you. You got to know some word for it to abide in you. You got to know what lines up with the will of God. Salvation lines up with the will of God. Call on God. Let him know what's going on. And watch and see if God won't do it for you. But he wants to know what's important to you. He wants to know, are you really in the war? Are you really a soldier for me? Or are you playing on the other side? You in the enemy's court, or are you on my side? They used to sing that song, who's on the Lord's side? Get up! If you're on the Lord's side. Get on up! Sit down if you're not. But get up! Let the Lord see you. Let the Lord know that I'm on your side. Lord, I'm standing here because I want something from you. Lord, I'm standing because I need you. See, we got to show up sometime. We got to let God know that I'm serious. We got to let God know that I'm here. And I'm going to do whatever it takes for victory. Whatever it takes. If we in the army for the Lord, I see you've stood up. God sees it. Lord, reward them for standing, showing the world that they're on your side and they want victory. While I was praying, I'm going to share this with you. While I was praying, he gave you words to say, because see, Paul and Silas prayed, then they sang praises. After I got through praying, I just, the song that Herbie sings every now and then just kept ringing in my heart. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the Lord kept giving me more to add to it. Strength, my strength, my strength, my strength, my strength, my strength. My strength, my strength, my strength. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My help, my help, my help. My help. Hallelujah. My help, my help, my help. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I thought about Taiwan. I said, marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. You're marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. You're marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glorious, glorious, glorious. Glorious, glorious, glorious. Glorious, glorious, glorious. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Said you're my joy, my joy, my joy. My joy, my joy, my joy. Hallelujah. My joy, my joy, my joy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's everything you need. He's your strength. He's your joy. He's your help. He's your provider. He's your deliverer. Hallelujah, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your help. He is your peace. Hallelujah. You in the army now. You got to know to pray and you got to know how to sing. You got to get in His presence and you got to stay in His presence, because there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know we're in warfare now, spiritual warfare. We thank for the art of the tools of the skills that you've given us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Mighty is our God. Hallelujah. Glorious is our God. Wonderful is our God. And Lord, we're so glad that we have you. You our source. And you we lean and depend upon. Bless right now, Lord, this your people. as we stand in your presence before your throne, in this open air, where we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power. We're not ashamed to let the world know whose side we on. Lord, and we're fighting for the kingdom of God. Lord, we're standing here, Lord, waiting on you to supply the needs to your people, to provide strength, to provide healing and deliverance. Lord, you know what your people have need of. Lord, and we call out to thee. We cry out to thee, help, Lord! Help, Lord! Help, Lord! Help, Lord! Help, Lord! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't know what to do, but just cry, help! If you don't know what to do, just cry, help! If you don't know what to say, Lord, just help! Hallelujah. We need your help. We need your help. And I'm on you as troops because, see, I need to be able to know that when I text you or call you to pray, that you know how to get in your foxhole, in your prayer closet, and begin to battle spiritually with me. Hallelujah, because we don't know who is it going to be next time that's going to need prayer. It might be me. It might be you. But we need to know that we can count on one another to intercede. Hallelujah. When you get the text, pray, 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 pray. Pray till something happen. Don't worry about calling me to find out, have you heard nothing yet? Pray. I'll let you know when something has happened. Just keep praying. Brother Herbie and I recall we were at the council and those ladies were singing that song by Paul Mortar. Pray. Keep on praying. I talked to Sister Marjorie about pray. Keep on praying for me. Pray. You gotta pray. Keep on praying. Those ladies kept singing that song. I began to think, how long are they gonna sing it? Cause we were looking at our clock. They keep singing it. But you know, the more they sung it, the anointing came in that place because see, folk realized something was going on. It was time for prayer. They kept singing it. Pray. Keep on praying. They didn't let it go. They couldn't let it go. Saints, we can't let it go. We got to pray and keep on praying because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. But we're going to tell him, get your hands off. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch.